This is part B of How Did We Get From There to Here, number two. Let's continue on in page 40, En Route to Global Occupation by Gary Kaw, published 1992. The club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special, highly confidential reports, which are sent to the power elite to be implemented. On September 17, 1973, the club released one such report entitled Regionalization and Adaptive Model of the Global World System, prepared by Club of Rome member Mahajlo Masarovic and Edward Pestel. The document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it refers to as kingdoms, just like Revelation 17. This sounds more like, he says, fulfillment of Daniel 7, 15 to 28, and Revelation 13 in the making. While these kingdoms are not set in concrete and changes could still occur, it gives us an idea of what lies ahead. Interesting. In referring to this study, Aurelio PC, the club's founder, stated, their world model, based on new developments of the multi-level hierarchical systems theory, divides the world into 10 interdependent, have you heard that word before? And mutually interacting regions of political, economic, or environmental coherence. Let's see. I wonder what Al Gore is doing with the environmentalism.
Did you have
printed his name? All right. Yes. Sorry, I desecrated the sermon. It will be recognized, of course, that these are still prototype models. They have assumed a Herculean task in doing so. The full implementation of their work will take many years. Now, we're looking back, as it's been done. Then he talks about a book entitled Mankind at the Turning Point, which was intended for public consumption, which the authors display the same 10 regions on page 161 to 164, only this time are the word kingdoms has been omitted. They are regions or unions, see. All right. At the conclusion of the book, PC remarks, philosophers have from ancient times stress the unity of existence, one world, one people, and the interconnection of all the elements of nature, man, and thought, which is what? Pantheism. And I'm going to write some information on those who are going to be paid for by Oprah Winfrey on the Sirius satellite station, in bringing the new age improve-yourself religion to the world, which is nothing more than what has been in the past. However, their teaching has seldom been reflected in political or social behavior. The Club of Rome and its network of affiliated organizations would change all of that. The Club of Rome's New Age slant is reflected in its American membership, which included Norman Cousins, longtime honorary chairman of Planetary Citizens, and possibly the best known and respected name in the forefront of the New Age movement, and then he lists other members and so forth and so on. Let me just read a couple of more quotes here. it shows how that this is all involved with also some of the members include Planned Parenthood, Aspen Institute for Humanist Societies, Human Studies, Humanistic Studies, and so forth. Rockefeller and Carnegie Foundations. You can include there the Ford Foundation and all of them. They're all part of the same network. There are more people who are at the forefront of establishing the New World Order. There can be no mistaking the fact that they have political connections. On page 193 of the book, The Limits to Growth, haven't you heard that before? And remember when Jerry Brown was elected governor, he said, we all have to get used to living with less. And that's when they brought out the ugly Volkswagen. And everyone said, we have to go smaller. Well, soon we're going to be convinced that we need to give up our RVs and go by bicycles. Let's continue here. This was published in 1972. The club states, we believe, in fact, that the need will quickly become evident for social innovation to match technological change, for radical reform of institutions and the political process at all levels, including the highest, that of world policy. So when any presidential candidate says, I am the one who's going to bring about change, and when it says we need to reorganize the government from top to bottom, what are they talking about? Those are messages to the globalist that I am your pawn, your man, or your woman. Let's go on. The executive committee of the Club of Rome concluded the book with the following. We believe that an unexpectedly large number of men and women of all ages and conditions will readily respond to the challenge and will be eager to discuss not if, but how we can create this new future. The Club of Rome plans to support such activities in many ways. How? By philanthropic grants from foundations to foster these organizations that couldn't stand on their own two feet without it to subvert the societies more and more. And since intellectual enlightenment is without effect if it is not also political, the Club of Rome also will encourage the creation of a world forum where statesmen, policymakers, and scientists can discuss the dangers and hopes of the future global system without the constraints of formal intergovernmental negotiations. I say once again, spp.org. Then in the book, Mankind at the Turning Point, the club is no less blatant in about its intentions, referring to the problems of economic control, food shortages, and the environment. It's all wrapped up together. I mean, this happened to me yesterday. I had to go into Nob Hill, the supermarket, and I was walking in the store, and I thought, every single thing in this store came from the earth which God has created. And someone somewhere had to plant it, to harvest it, to grow it, or to make it and plant it and so forth. So all the customers can come in and you can get what you want from the world's market. Now, you can get anything you want, right? Yes. It's all tied together. And remember, the banks always win. Because you get money from one bank for your employer to pay you, and what do? You put it in another bank, so it's still in the banking system, right? And everybody's going to win big time, which will be another sermon that I will bring concerning the mark of the beast, because when they have the mark of the beast, no one will be able to get out of paying taxes. No one will be able to have identity theft. No one will have to fiddle with cash. No one will have to fiddle with credit cards. So it's going to be an ideal system. We can control all criminals. We can track all pedophiles. Isn't that a wonderful solution? Let's go on. Mankind at the turning point. The club is no less blatant. It says here, the solution of these crises can be developed only in a global context. So, in the news, listen for global, world, economic, environmental. Hey, it sounds like every other word in nightly news, doesn't it? Yes. With a full and explicit recognition of the emerging world system and on a long-term basis. They plan ahead 100 years. This would, you know, most of us, we can't plan ahead more than 2 weeks, right? And most everyone's life is so wrapped up in getting along from day to day, week to week, and they're so busy going here and there. And when they watch television, they want to be entertained so they can get all the stuff out of their minds. They don't think, they don't understand, they don't know where they're going, except that they want a place to live, they want food to eat, and they want to be permitted by the state to have their own. That's where it's coming to. This would necessitate, among other changes, a new world economic order and a global resources allocation system. Have you heard of that? We've got to allocate how much you get. A world consciousness must be developed through which every individual realizes his role as a member of the world community. Watch any movie that is somewhat futuristic, and that's where it's headed. If you want a real eye-opener, get the movie Enemy of the State, because it's a precursor of what they can do when they get rid of currency and they get rid of credit cards, because here was this man, and he was against what they were doing on a globalization basis, and what happened? They marked him. They took away his identity. They took away. They put out false stories about him, that he was a criminal. They were searching for him. But what it really was, he was going to expose the evil of what they were doing. So they eliminated his identity in every computer. They took away his credit cards, canceled all of his phones. He did not exist at all. But he did exist as a person, so you watch that, Enemy of the State. So we have a world consciousness that is being developed. What's happening in the school system? Why don't they teach about history of America? Because that does not develop world consciousness. See? Why don't they teach morals? Because they don't want morals. They want a homosexual society. Don't teach the truth about God and don't have prayer in there, because God says you are a sovereign individual and you need to govern your own life by my laws. And the world government says, no, we don't want individuality. We want members dictated by our behavior model to them. That's what's happening in education around the world. I need to mention again in this sermon, change by incrementalism. You do it a step at a time. Comment was made that when this lady traveled to East Germany years ago, that the guide said that all women must work and the state takes care of all the children. See, they're formed into a world consciousness, you see. Well, they couldn't do that in America, so what do? They have programs that are voted on. Head Start. No Child Left Behind. And now Hillary Billery, if she's elected president, has one of her Christmas presents that she wants to start them out with $5,000 put into an account for every child, which means what? If you pay $5,000, you control that individual, right? Don't you? Do you not? You now become a total ward of the state, do you not? You lose your individual identity. Yes, you do. Okay. And start out the control from birth. Now, they're going to have an awful time, but sooner or later they're going to have to deal with homeschooling, because homeschooling is really the best. And in America, it's highly developed, but in Germany, it's outlawed and parents can be put in jail. So that tells you what kind of system is going to come. Let me finish here. It says, being a member of the world community, it must become part of the consciousness of every individual that the basic unit of human cooperation and hence survival is moving from the national to the global level. Well, that's all I have time to read about that. Let's come here to Daniel, the 8th chapter. Let's see a very, very interesting prophecy concerning the coming world system and the coming world leader. But remember this, the world system must be in place before the world ruler can take over. Because you see, if the ruler comes on the scene first, he then must implement the system, and he won't have time to implement the system. And he would be considered a conqueror to do so. So you conquer by incrementalism, by cooperation, by trade, by agreements, by giving up a little bit of sovereignty, giving up a little bit of independence for security, creating crises which will foment these things along, etc., etc. Now let's come here to Daniel, the 8th chapter. It's talking about the 2300 days. We're not going to get into the 2300 day explanation, but we'll begin here at verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came. Now, you see, this is important because God is warned ahead of time thousands of years, because he knows what's in the heart of man, and he knows what's in the heart of Satan, and he knows what's going to happen. And when he came near, I was afraid and fell on my face, and he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. We're living close to the time of the end, right? Yes. Then he showed him what was going to happen here. Let's pick it up here in verse, let's continue on verse 19. And he said, behold, I will make you know what shall be the last end of the indignation. That's right up to the literal return of Christ and the saints on the earth, right? For the time appointed, the end shall, for at the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which you saw, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So what we are talking about is a continuation of the world system from the time of Babylon down to the return of Christ, now manifesting itself a little different way than in Daniel 2 and later in Daniel 7. So let's read it. And now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And that's what happened. Four generals took over the empire that Alexander the Great had conquered in conquering the Medes and the Persians. And it's interesting that Alexander the Great died where? In Babylon. And by the way, all of the fantastic Greek philosophy came from the Babylonians. The Greeks don't like to admit it, but that's where it came from. Now notice, we're talking about the end time, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when transgressors are come to the full. Now what does that mean? That ties right in with 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. When the apostasy comes to the full. And that means when the whole world and mankind has rejected God and is going after this one world system, with now its one world leader who will be declared God on the earth, with its one false prophet and all the religions coming together. You see, 100 years ago, you could not even begin to understand these prophecies. But now we see it developing. And now we can see parts of it that we can look back with 20/20 vision hindsight. And when you have 20/20 vision hindsight, it's a whole lot easier to understand things. Okay? Come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. This is the final beast. But remember, the world system must first be created for him to assume control over. And there must be a final crisis which will precipitate the emergency measures necessary for the 10 regional kings who have not been called kings to receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And his power shall be mighty, verse 24, and not by his own power. And he shall destroy awesomely. We know how that can be today. And shall prosper and practice. And practice has some connotation of witchcraft. Knowing it's from Satan, that's right in there. Okay? And shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. Now come back here to Revelation 13. Hold your place in Daniel 9 because we're not done yet. Because this world system is going to come. But we're seeing how the finality of it is going to take place. We'll come back and talk about the structure of it leading up to it. Revelation 13. Because we find exactly the same thing here. This is after the deadly wound is healed. Verse 5. And a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue for 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And he was given power to make war against the saints. That ties right in with what we just read. Shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And to overcome them. And he was given authority over, now read this, every tribe and language and nation. The finality of the world system, he takes over. So the system must be put in place first, and this is what we are seeing. We'll talk about that a little bit more and how it's happened to the United Kingdom right now. Now, verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth. Now, think about this for a minute. Whenever you read a statement like this, God is telling us, looking from his perspective from heaven, to tell us what's going to happen on the earth. When it says all who dwell on the earth, that means all, except the saints. We'll worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. In other words, you better listen because it's going to happen. Maybe it won't happen in your lifetime, but somewhere in somebody's lifetime down toward the end, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen to everybody who's alive at the end time. Now, I don't know if I'm still going to be alive at that time. If we go another 10 years, I'll be 83. Now, I don't know how long beyond that God may give me. So what do we need to do? All of us, we need to get right with God, number one, and we all need to help prepare for the next generation that's coming along, because we can understand they're not going to have time to research, they're not going to have time to read all kinds of books. They're going to have these things condensed and put together so they can have it now. But one thing that is facilitating people learning today is not only all the information that is there, but the internet is a great facilitator in getting information that people could not have gotten even 5 years ago, let alone going on back and reading some of these commentaries like Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown that are well over 100 years old. And Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown today, other than explaining certain words, is virtually worthless in trying to understand the commentaries when you come to Revelation 13 like we just read here. Now, let's come back to Daniel, the 8th chapter, and let's finish it here, you see. Daniel 8 and verse 25. Verse 25, and through his policy he shall cause craft to prosper. That means the occult religions of this world will be the leading religions. Cause craft to prosper at his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart and by peace. Now the margin says prosperity. See, there's coming a time when there will be peace and prosperity, and the mark of the beast will do that. No one can make war, because no one can assemble, because it will be known if you're assembling illegally. No one can raise funds to start an insurrection or a rebellion or a coup, because they will be able to know the people gathering together wherever they are. See? And by peace and prosperity shall destroy many. Now, how are you going to destroy many without causing war? By regionalization. As I wrote in my letter, the way the 10 regions of the world are looking right now, every single modern day end time 10 tribe Israelite nation will be put into regions and will lose their identity. The country will change, but they won't change countries. Now, how's that for a sleight of hand and a clever way of doing it? All right, let's read it here. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes. Now, there's only one individual who's going to do that, right? The beast of Revelation 13 and 17, right? Yes. But he shall be broken. Revelation 19. Now, let's talk about the structure. As I've mentioned in the past, God has raised up a good number of prophets. Not religious prophets as we know them. There are secular prophets who tell you what is happening in the political world. Now, a lot of them believe in God, and they will tell you so. There are also financial prophets who tell you what's going to happen, and we'll talk about that next time, what's going to happen financially. Now, here's a prophet in Britain. And here is his warning to Britain. Before I get into it, let me just state this. Queen Elizabeth number one oversaw the rise of Britain to a great world power and to become the richest nation in the world, because God's hand was with Britain to do that at the time he was beginning to raise up the modern nations of Israel in the end time. I've already mentioned that and covered that. Queen Elizabeth II, who has reigned an inordinately long period of time and is 81 and has absolutely no desire to abdicate, to let either her son or one of her grandsons become king. She is overseeing the demise of Britain. And in doing so, you have to ask the question, how much does she know? I don't know. But you know she would not do it unless she was guaranteed to have the throne continue, howbeit, although in a much more highly ceremonial way than it is now. So here's an article entitled, "The Abolition of Britain by the Reform Treaty of 2008. What is the Reform Treaty of 2008? Remember, what was it, a year ago, a year and a half ago, all the nations of Europe were to vote on the new European Union Constitution, and they all voted it down, and everyone said, hooray, hooray, yes. Boy, we've avoided a takeover. No, all they do, because they have the power, they just come around with deception by incrementalism. So there's a way around it. They took the same constitution, put it on the shelf, and said, well, yeah, you know, maybe we need to redo this. So what they did, they reworded certain parts of it and brought the same thing back as a treaty. Now, I've mentioned this before. Whenever the sovereigns of a nation sign a treaty, they are signing sovereignty over to the treaty. Because whatever the treaty contains becomes the law of the land to supersede the Constitution and also, in this case, the throne. Let me read some excerpts of it here. The sixth, that's a very interesting number, isn't it? Six. And final treaty has been named. It is the Reform Treaty due to be signed by the Queen in the summer of 2008. This is a year before the deadline set by Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel. Now, you see, the Nazis have won, though they lost the war. They just changed colors. They just changed appearance, just like it says of the Assyrians. You're like grasshoppers that change. So they, through the Club of Rome, the European Union, all the agreements there, they now have figured out how to conquer Europe without firing a single shot. Merkel and former President Giscard d'Estaing were among many European ministers who have confirmed the treaty is the EU constitution almost unchanged. If they are right, it will abolish the British Constitution and therefore the nations of Britain and England, sweeping away our Westminster Parliament and giving the EU dictatorship power to close it. The sixth treaty is the fastest moving and most secret the EU has drafted. Opposition to and recognition of the EU as a police state is growing, and they know speed is vital. Tony Blair, countdown to abolition. Tony Blair agreed to it on 23rd of June 2007 as his final stab in Britain's back. On the 23rd of July, there was an intergovernmental conference when we should have seen the first draft of the treaty. That never took place. But George Brown, now the new chancellor, whatever it is, signs on December 13, 2007. He's already signed it. the Queen and Parliament to abolish Britain in the summer of 2008. The Parliament begins the ratification in February 2008, and remember, they're locked into it and can't change, and is allocated 29 days to discuss this treaty and its abolition. They could well vote on it in March. The Queen plans to give her royal assent in June 2008. That's how nations lose their sovereignty, and your country no longer becomes your own because you're absorbed into a regional basket of nations. This means Westminster will pass the treaty and the Queen will sign it behind our backs, as they have the five other treaties, and so she is seeing the demise of Britain. No referendum. Here's the key. Just exactly like Satan always does, he gets these things through that are illegal so they become legal. See, it's not legal what they are doing with the SPP to form the North American Union. But the governmental agencies are doing it behind the scenes without a formal declaration so they can say, oh, well, these are just informal meetings. The EU remains illegal as far as those who know about sovereignty in Britain are concerned. Each of these six treaties are completely illegal under the British Constitution, our 1689 Bill of Rights, our treason laws, and under our common law. It is unforgivable that the Queen, Her Majesty's, our Parliament, have committed the criminal act of treason by signing these treaties and broken our laws to abolish our nation. The EU will always be illegal in Britain, but once the EU has complete power and control here, we can no longer get rid of it than we could Germany, which had planned in the past the illegal occupation of Britain in 1940, had it been successful. So the Nazis have won without firing a shot. Comment was brought up concerning right now, Britain is in a very precarious position economically, and the pound is in as bad a shape as the U.S. dollar or worse. And if they don't sign this, then they'll be threatened with the European Union Central Bank not rescuing the pound from destruction. So one way or the other, they're going to conquer Britain. Now, here's what they have done. Where are we now? Since 1972, the Queen has illegally signed five of the six EU treaties. Number two, the five treaties define and build the EU as an unelected dictatorship. Three, the EU laws passed by Westminster give it the powers of a police state. See, by incrementalism, by treaty. And once it is passed, then all they need to do is enforce it. Number four, the sixth treaty will complete the abolition of Britain as a nation. The Queen is due to sign it next year. A foreign power, the EU, will then rule us and enforce the laws of a police state. Now, that happened to the 10 tribes of Israel before in the past, didn't it? When they sinned against God, and He sent the different nations to rule them, and they became vassal states. That's what this is. Britain will become a vassal state. America will become a vassal state. Australia, New Zealand, and Canada will become vassal states, and their countries will no longer be their own, but they will be part of a global entity. The structure will be there for the beast. Now, I don't have time to read much more, but it talks about 30 years inside the EU. Have you noticed how our democracy is being withdrawn? Look what's happening in preparation for the North American Union. Six, massive EU corruption. Same way with our corrupt politicians. The bribing of our politicians by the EU. See, and another thing that is important to realize, so you can go vote if you want to, but just understand this, your vote is going to be absolutely meaningless because only the ones that the master club of Rome and the elite societies of this world want to represent them in whatever level of politics there is, they're the only ones going to be elected. Once in a while, a renegade like Trancato will get in, but he's history now. He's toast. Number eight, EU corruption is now exploding through our civil service, and it says this, because of the EU agreements, all police cannot be prosecuted for crimes. That is Catholic canon law. Number nine, businesses closing under EU regulation, if they don't submit to it, then they are out of business. Number 10, the EU costs £200 billion a year, 20% of Britain's economy. Our counties, that is the sections of Britain, are to be abolished. The Queen signed the 1992 Maastricht Treaty, which adopts the EU regionalization plan for Britain internally. This will abolish England's 48 counties and replace them with 9 European regions, each with their own regional capital, which reports directly to Brussels and not to Westminster. This effectively obliterates the country of England. For example, the county of Cornwall is replaced by the Southwest region, which stretches from Land's End and includes Gloucestershire and Wiltshire. Its regional capital is Exeter. As this move is unpopular, it's being kept low-key and will not be implemented until the sixth treaty is already signed, when we have lost our right to object. Then what's going to happen? Everyone's going to get a new address. That's how Britain... Now, I have other prophecies I'd like to read concerning Ephraim. I'll cover that next time. But that's how the modern nations of Israel are going to go into captivity without being transported somewhere else. They will change the government and change the nation, and it will no longer be God's people. Let me read just a couple of things here. If the sixth treaty is signed, we lose our right to withdraw and Britain ceases to be a nation. In the EU, which means in Britain, government is above the law. EU monitoring officers have the right to dismiss our counselors. We have lost the right of freedom. We have lost the right of freedom of speech. We have lost the right to protest. The government's terrorism, deception, was only to gain control. We have lost the right of life because the EU police will have the orders to shoot and kill on sight. What will life be like in the EU after the sixth treaty is signed? It shows exactly what it will be. I will cover that next time and we will go on. How long will the EU last? Perhaps 15 years down the track. There we go. Now, go back and read the letter I just mailed, and you will see this is happening around the world with all nations being regionalized, and we are so locked in with trade, and we are so locked in with finances and currency, we are so locked in with indebtedness that there is nowhere to go because the octopus or the squib-like arms of Satan has come around and is embracing all the nations of the world into this one world global system. And we're right now at the door of the last stages of this being developed. So the framework is going to come together before the man of sin is revealed. Okay, we'll continue next. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.